Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go, welcome to show number 2,889. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Robin Fox, and my car.
I'm out.
You are in the men's room. On tap today, Ryan Castle's in Drunken Charge as you sit and spin today 10 songs that turn 40 years old this year.
Okay.
Speaking of, what you don't need to know gets rid of half the stuff in your place once you turn 40. Get ready to play Profile This, plus headlines, a men's room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clap.
Drink, cut you drunk. All right, here we go. Say it isn't so. 12-year-old set herself on fire for internet challenge and is nearly burned alive. Like craft beer, there is now craft cocaine, is clean, organic, with legs, if you so jive. Australian drought so bad that emus looking for food and water are heading into town. A woman finds out her fiancé is watching porn and gives back her wedding gown. And a speeding driver tells cops she thought she was only doing 100. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, on yesterday's program, we told you about a woman that fell overboard from a cruise ship into the Adriatic Sea. Now, she survived for 10 hours, and I hate to say it, but she says, thanks to her yoga training. But here's the thing. She's not alone. A different woman fell out of a different boat, this time off the coast of Rhode Island. She managed to swim to an island where she eventually waited for rescue from the Coast Guard. We'll explain how her husband didn't notice for 10 hours coming up. And while we're in New England talking about unexpected visits to the water, there's a couple in Boston, and I swear to God, they're dancing on a pier. They're dancing to Footloose. Yes, they're actually playing a Footloose song. They are dancing much the way you'd expect people to dance to Footloose until they shimmied a little too close to the edge of the pier and tumbled into the drink. True thing. They ended up being okay, but I've seen the video. Quite funny. They fall directly into the water. Now, inevitably, falling into water when you're on a boat or on a pier, it's not out of the question. It's why they have life jackets. It's something that can be expected. On the other hand, while they do make life jackets, I bet you cannot find what I would call a sheep helmet, you know, to protect your own head from falling sheep when you hike. What happened to a kid in Ireland? He was hiking when a sheep fell off of a cliff and landed on him. I bet he didn't see that coming. We also have stories about a man who, well, he died after tripping, getting out of his bathtub, and impaling himself on the plunger. He fell out of the bathtub, the plunger went through his eye, and he died. Oh, yeah. That's a nasty way to go. We have a paraglider who died when he crashed into another paraglider. We have a farmer that ended up dying when he was run over by his own tractor. Look, we understand why they call these things accidents. It's because you don't see them coming. And a lot of times people say, whatever you do, look up. It's important to look up because things fall. And this is what we want to talk about today. Sometimes it surprises you. Sometimes you saw it coming. But today we want to know who or what was falling and from where?
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitch, hola. You have entered the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola, and away we go. Welcome to show number 2889. What a large and charge program do we have for you today?
This is
a guaranteed future repeat.
I don't know.
I absolutely guarantee that you will hear this program again when we're on a vacation. This is going to be an outstanding show.
Look, you might hear this again when we go on vacation, but I don't think they're going to like it. You're going to hate it when you hear it again.
Oh, man, you keep getting older. Ryan Castle, the Drunken Charge, is in the Sit and Spin. And today, 10 songs that turned 40 this year that are massive hits. You still dance to these songs. You still love these songs. They're iconic songs. Turns out they're 40 years old.
I asked him earlier what it was, and he said
you
40.
Love them all.
So I did them. Well, I was like, that's 1978. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, boy, that's, I don't know what's on the list, but I'm guessing, like, as far as the heyday, it seems like it might be Donna Summer or Queen or Village People.
Saturday Night Live. Right.
Saturday Night Live
soundtrack.
I mean, like, the Doobie Brothers were huge and the Eagles were huge. But, I mean, this is the time of disco.
Disco was the top. Rock was, you know.
Elton John, maybe.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of good
Eagles
stuff.
Still huge.
Now, speaking of 40, what you don't need to know, and Ted, you're getting closer to this. Steve and I have already crossed the finish line on this.
A while ago.
But what you don't need to know gets rid of half the stuff in your place. Believe it or not, these are things, according to MSN.com, that you should not have in your place after you turn 40 years old.
Is it not have in your place or not have out? You shouldn't have
in your home. Oh, this is
like
gonna,
not in the oh, box in
no,
the basement.
No.
I already saw one that I feel like is committing a hate crime where I live.
Now, wait a minute. All right, gamers and all you guys, man, this is going to piss you off. The number one thing that you shouldn't have is a figurine in a box. No little character still in the
what
box.
What if it's a figurine of yourself?
No, it can't be in the box.
The only reason I disagree with that is this. If you are 40 years old and have a figurine, okay? If it's not in the box, that indicates to me that you may or may not play with it. If it's in the box, I recognize there's some probably monetary value, which shows me you're getting a little smarter, right?
I think it also depends on if you're single or if you've got a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then what's the rule on that? Because if you're single and have a figurine in a box, people would make fun of you. The flip side of that, but if you're with someone and you can have the figurine in a box, it's like you're with the person you should be with.
Yep.
This list is brutal on all of us. Mike, you're going to hate this.
It's had a long time to go, though.
I know, but still,
Mike
it doesn't
is
matter.
The
you,
least you, worried
you need
about
to get this in now. A recliner with built-in cup holders. All right, that's one of those things you would never should have after you're 40. I'm guilty.
Why?
I think you should have that.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I disagree with you.
I'm already
old,
fired.
You're,
when
40. You're 40. You have earned the right to sit on your ass and do not a goddamn thing.
Christmas lights as decoration. I'm guilty of this one. I have a strand of lights that go up a tree in my living room.
All year round?
All year round.
In that's the living room? As-
yes, exactly. But I can't do it.
I'm sorry. That's
telling me. I know. I've been told before. I don't give a flying F. You know why? I just don't care. But when I read this list, it still makes me feel like S. I'm like, because half of this stuff I'm guilty of. So we'll get to that list coming up. And I'm over 40 years old, so that's all on the way. And, of course, we will drink and toast with a shot of the day. Today on our question, we're going to talk about gravity, and gravity never going anywhere. One thing that stands true, gravity is not going anyplace anytime soon.
It's really not, man. No matter what you do.
Go to hell, the weather might be changing, the world might be on fire, might be getting hot. One thing we know remains the same, that is gravity.
Yeah, it just does what it does.
It really
doesn't matter. It doesn't have a political affiliation. It does not have a favorite sports team. It just is what the F it is.
And once you start, it's very hard to stop.
Yes, if you fall, that is very problematic.
It really is. I guess, you know, I think...
That's why they invented parachutes.
I think there's been two famous falls. So we have one intentional fall and one unintentional fall within our show. Within the Men's Room realm of falling, I think we've had two famous falls. Ted, you had a famous fall, which is the most epic fall of them all.
Right. I fell off my own balcony.
That was unintentional.
Backwards on cement.
You fell out of a plane on purpose for what, your birthday or just for the hell of it? Oh, you had a friend come in town and you had a chance to do
it. This is literally how this went down. And this particular friend is very much what you would call the apex predator of people. Mm-hmm. All right. So pick her up at the airport. She's in the back of the car and says, hey, man, while I'm here, 2 or 3 days, you want to go skydiving? It just as an aside, I'm like, yeah, that would be cool. She's instantly on her phone, says, yeah. Can you do it tomorrow? I'm like, well, dude, we have a show. Yeah, we can do it tomorrow early. Okay, well, then open for us. Click. Mm-hmm. we're going tomorrow. And so the next day, we drive like 60 miles, whatever it is, man. Like, she organizes this thing. We go skydiving. Her goal was to skydive in all 50 states.
I got to ask you a question.
So what?
Because I'm used to...
not jumping out of a plane.
Right. I'm also used to... and I'm used to that, too.
Most of us are.
Yeah. I'm used to going to the airport.
Yeah.
I'm used to sitting down and getting my 22-ounce beer with my shot glass for $1.50 extra, whatever the hell the racket is.
For $1.50 more.
I might have a couple more. I go to my gate. I putz around. I might get a sandwich to take with me. I walk down.
We know you got chicken wings.
I walk down that ramp. I get on the plane. I sit down, man. I hope to God I can fall asleep. This is not the kind of airport that looks anything like that. Aren't you just pulling up to like a farm with like a patch of land and a runway on it?
It's like a farm, a runway, a big metal shed. You pull up.
That's what I'm saying.
And they kind of explain like, look, we're going to do a tandem jump because to do it solo is a couple of hours of all this stuff. Don't have time for it, whatever. And so we're going to go tandem. They provide you the parachute, the harness. And then I appreciated this, but I did have to bring it up to like, hey, man, and here's the headgear. Well, again, you're jumping to like 10,000 feet, whatever. The headgear's a leather cap like they used to wear.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
Like the Red Baron.
And I asked him straight up, what the F is this going to do? I said, man, listen, if we slam it to the ground.
It's going to keep your hair in, probably.
It doesn't. I don't have hair. Mm. It's not going to protect my head. And then you go up and you do this thing. Now, here's the thing. I find out after the fact, and it was a fine experience, which I only say because I'm still alive. I found out later there was one tipping point on my way down where things could have been dramatically different. My tandem jumper was kind enough not to fill me in on this info as this was going on. He told me after we landed. But when we land, and I'm now driving back to go to work, the woman who organized this says, hey, by the way, I don't know if you realize this, but the guys you just jumped with, I'm like, yeah. She said, they're some of the best. I said, well, I believe that. She said, no, you've seen them before. So I understand. My friend worked for Red Bull. And Red Bull does whatever it is. People make those crazy contraptions, go down ramps, and try to fly. So these guys that I parachuted with, they're like this elite team of skydivers. And you've seen them in, I want to say it was Transformers 3, maybe. It's these guys in squirrel suits zipping through the... That's them. So these guys are about as good as it gets, but I didn't know this. She also pointed out multiple Super Bowls, college football games where these guys come down and land dead center.
I've seen that. That's crazy.
All this stuff. Like, there are some of the main guys in the country that do this. So I found out after the fact, but I will say my comfort level went up real big. Like, okay. She was like, look, man, these guys are as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that S can't go wrong.
Okay, Red Bull did give you wings.
You know what? They gave me wings, brother.
Did you have a Red Bull before you went up?
I did not need any more adrenaline. I discovered that once I was on the plane, I was more awake than I mm-hmm. thought I was, and my adrenaline level was just fine.
I have walked on a runway before a couple times, which I thought was pretty cool.
As a model?
Just to get on the prop plane. You know what I mean?
Not
on that runway. Yeah, like on the catwalk.
I'm too sexy for my show.
On the catwalk. No, but I have. And the one plane that I got into, it had the presidential staircase because they didn't have this type of gate, so I walked up that.
It's not presidential; it's ghetto.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's a big ass staircase. Right? But like, I felt like it's not presidential, man.
It's called a connector flight, Miles.
If you don't think, no, it was a big one. It was into a big jet
because the plane was taller.
Right,
it's still not presidential.
But I got to the top, and you know, I turned around and I waved at everybody,
and everyone's like, "Yeah, get the hell on the plane."
Thank you. We'll see you next time on the next tour. And then you step up into the little ones. I've never actually pulled myself into a plane. Like, I've never actually stepped into the plane. There's always been a ramp. There's always been a
set of stairs. What do you mean you pulled yourself in, though?
You walked into a plane. Like, you stick your foot up in it and you walk in.
The stairs didn't go all the way up?
Well, they do for me, but I've never been on a plane where you kind of just, you know, pull yourself up in.
Even as a kid?
Wait a minute, are you talking about the plane he was jumping out of?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it still has a little door that stairs.
Yeah, but you still just open the door and, like, walk up in. Normally, I'm like, I walk in, I've got my bag somehow.
So, wait, these stairs were connected to the plane.
Yeah, like, that's how you go.
Okay, that's a little different.
Right.
I thought you meant the ones they just roll up, those ghetto ass.
Oh, no, these are the big ones. Like, you know, I've done that, but I've never actually, like, climbed into a plane. So then, all right.
What do you start thinking about once you realize you've climbed? Like, well, like, why did I climb on a plane?
This is it's like the fair ride where you're like, oh, I hope this works.
Yeah, now that you're on there, right.
Now they scrunch you to the edge of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking out, and what, you're 10,000 feet up?
Yeah. Bro, yeah.
And your feet hanging off of the edge?
Yes, right before
you look down.
And you say, hey, man, I don't think, and at that point they roll your ass up.
They scrunch you up, and then basically you just start falling.
Yes.
Now, are you tumbling? Are you flying? Is it like Superman? What happens?
I don't remember. I remember looking at, and honest to God, at that point, I'm like, this is a stupid idea because my feet are hanging out of the plane, and the plane's going 200 miles an hour.
Right.
And you're very aware of all of this stuff in that moment. But once you're, I want to say you kind of roll out. So you're, if I remember this right, they kind of roll you to your back first, because I vaguely remember seeing the plane disappear. Like, when you see it on TV, the plane's always kind of in your view. In real life, it is moving 200 miles an hour, so it's 200 miles an hour away from you. So by the time you look up,
it's gone.
It's pretty much gone, man. I mean, and that's just a weird thing, because that's not what you always visualize.
Okay.
And then you realize you're out there, but as we're tumbling around and we kind of right the ship, there's another guy who's videotaping this, and I realize I'm probably safe, because he videotaped it. His parachute's not out, and he basically, picture on your back, mm-hmm. with your legs above you, you're holding a camera, and so he's just hurtling toward the earth, but shoots by me, kind of slows himself down, spreads out his legs. He's videotaping me, gives me a thumbs up, and we're just falling right. through the...
Okay, but now you're on your stomach, you got your arms out, you can see down, you can see all this stuff. How long do you fall like that before they pull the chute?
Honestly, not long enough. I can't tell you how long. Maybe it's 10 seconds. Most of your time in the skies is the parachute, which I understand why, but the adrenaline, the cool part is the falling, because you don't actually feel like you're falling. It just feels like there's an S ton of wind blowing at you, but you don't feel like you're falling.
Because you don't have that.
It's just perception. It's real. There's no perception to it, man, and you're high enough. And and the thing is, it's tandem, so I don't have to check my odometer. There's nothing that I'm concerned about.
The guy who's with you, does he say, okay, we're going to pull the ripcord now on the chute? Or does he just do it? I mean, do you have the, because I'm sure it's jarring, isn't it?
Something went wrong so as we're going down in our belly, he righted it, so now we're going down feet first, where you pick up a lot of speed. So my understanding is, if you belly flop down, I want to say your maximum speed hits about 120 miles an hour. And when you go vertical, it can go up to 180. So he takes us vertical, and he's kind of yelling, but not frantically, but yelling in my ear over the wind. He says, kick your legs like a bicycle, which at first I did not do. He repeated this. So I did that, and I thought he's doing it to make me look stupid so his friend could videotape it. So we're just dropping out of the sky, like standing up, and we're kicking our legs like we're bicycling. Parachute comes out. We float down to the bottom. It's all good. He takes off the parachute, and he says, listen, man, when I made you vertical and started having you bicycle your legs, the first chute didn't open. I was like, I'm sorry, what? He said, the first chute didn't open. I obviously don't want to tell you this. So he's trying Right, because the rest of the trip. That would have been the rest of the trip, right? So the secondary chute came out. I'm not sure how it works by me bicycling my legs, but he briefly explained it like, if you don't do that part when I go to pull the second chute because of the way the first chute had tangled up with whatever, essentially, the second chute would have gotten tangled up and we just would have crashed into the ground.
What's the whole process from the time you get out of the plane to the time you land? 5 minutes?
It might be a little longer, man. I feel like once the parachute comes out, like, it's now that you're moving slow, but comparative to what you were just doing, it feels like it takes forever. You're just taking the view.
Now you're coming in. Uh-huh. Now, does it seem like you're coming in hot? Does it seem like you're coming in really fast when you come into land? Because it always looks like they're coming in
until
and then they pull up a little bit and kind of give that little...
Yeah,
little
you got to pull up.
It always looks a little abrupt when they
land. Well, you don't feel like it until you're about 100 feet above the ground. Because you're like, man, we're going, 2 miles an hour? You're going like 20 or 25. So before you land, they tell you, I'm going to pull back on the parachute just like you see. Lift your legs up a little bit. Like, if you hit these things at your feet, you're going to face plant hard, and the parachute's going to drag you and rub your face off across the ground.
Right,
So you kick your feet up a little bit, man, and it's like, I wouldn't say it's a hard landing, but imagine if you ran as fast as you could down a steep hill when it levels out and someone said, look, when you get to the bottom, just try to stop your legs and stop. You're kind of moving at that speed where you'd lock your legs and there's dust flying from your heels and all that.
Okay.
Except you didn't fall 10,000 feet to get there. But that's kind of what it felt.
All right. Okay.
But that's because it was successful.
Now, that was an intentional fall. Now, Ted, you had an unintentional fall. Some people have heard the story on the show before. Other people have not. You came back from a football game.
Correct.
A college football game.
Correct.
You've had a few beers, but it's nothing
technically
crazy.
Miles, I had a few captain and died.
All right, okay. You have a balcony, and the balcony has a railing on it in the corner, and you kind of just got in that corner like you were leaning up against it, but you kind of
like
got
doing a dip
in
on the
dip
inside.
Position, right?
Right. So then I just sat back on the railing and just sat back enough. Like, the last thing I remember was being like, I've lost my balance, and there was a leaf that brushed up my nose the wrong way. Like, usually when you fall, right, a leaf should kind of go
right,
that
chin
way.
To eyebrow.
But, like, it was going forehead to past chin. My nose to my
so
chin.
So you realize you're falling backwards and you're falling off.
And it is probably one of the worst feelings I've ever had in my life.
About 15 feet.
Correct.
And you don't, you, and you landed.
Right, I land in a planter box. I don't know.
You were there for hours.
Who knows?
You don't know.
I don't know.
Paramedics came. They didn't even think anything was wrong with you.
No, apparently I just told. I was like, I'm just wasted. It'll be fine.
And the neighborhood you're in, I can see why they bring you off.
I was still on probation. So I guess I was scared of getting arrested or something.
Falling off your balcony.
Well,
there's more to that story.
Yeah,
so that was, yeah. That's the gist.
Who or what was falling and from where? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line. Your call's coming up next. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A British woman was saved by the Croatian Coast Guard after spending what she said was close to 10 hours treading water overnight in the Adriatic Sea after she fell off a cruise ship.
How do you fall off of a cruise ship?
Kay Longstaff spoke to, I don't know.
Taking a picture.
Is she drunk? Is she,
She didn't strike me as someone who's drunk because she treaded water for 10 hours. She's in very good health. She does her yoga. Okay. I'm not saying it's impossible. It just seems like it happens a lot.
Kay Longstaff spoke to a Croatian news outlet there after she got back on land. She said, I fell off the back of a Norwegian Star. A woman who lives in Spain said, I was in the water for 10 hours, so these wonderful guys rescued me. I'm really lucky, very lucky to be alive. Longstaff, who was 46, led by medical personnel to an ambulance. The captain of the ship that rescued her told local media that it was a miracle that she survived. On the cruise liner, they thought that she did not survive. She's clearly fit. She told us she does yoga and that as she floated in the sea, she sang the whole time so that her body temperature would not fall and to stay awake. Yeah. A patrol boat and an airplane also were part of the rescue effort. The Coast Guard later learned the Longstaff fell from the ship at 11:45 local time at night. From footage reviewed by the crew of the Norwegian Star, Longstaff was spotted at sea around about a mile from the site of the incident. The Coast Guard was notified and a search and rescue operation ensued. We are pleased to advise she was found alive, currently in stable condition. Amazing. The main thing is that a tragedy was averted and she was found alive. She was traveling on the cruise ship, by the way, with her husband. And he told CNN that he first heard of the incident at 6 a.m. on Sunday when the captain announced that there was a person overboard. Let me reiterate that again. She falls off the boat at 11:45 in the evening. Now, she's out there for 10 hours.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Which means that she's found at around 9 o'clock in the morning.
9:45.
Yeah, 9:45, whatever. Either way, the husband does not know that she is missing, does not know that she is gone until 6 a.m. the next day.
He's sleeping.
For 7 hours.
But that's only because the captain brought it up.
Right.
And I'm sure he rolled over and said, hey, baby, did you hear? Hey, baby, baby. I think that's my wife. And by the way, there's a weird theme with that.
What's that?
There's another story about another woman.
Oh, yeah. Who
falls off of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband doesn't notice.
All right. Here,
extraordinary amount of time.
So this is not a repeat. A husband and wife were sailing from Newport, Rhode Island to East Greenwich, Rhode Island.
Greenwich.
I don't know. I don't go to Rhode Island.
It's kind of famous.
For what?
Greenwich Village. Greenwich, man.
Greenwich.
Oh,
Greenwich.
Oh,
New York.
Greenwich.
All right.
But this is Rhode Island Greenwich.
I'm going to go Greenwich, like Rainier Frog. A husband and wife were sailing from Newport, Rhode Island to East Greenwich, Rhode Island, on their 39-foot sailboat on Friday. And at some point, the woman fell overboard. She managed to swim to an island, and the Coast Guard rescued her around 4 o'clock in the morning. Why did it take so long? Because her husband did not realize she was gone. He thought she'd just been below deck the whole time, and he didn't figure out she was missing until he stopped sailing around 2 a.m.
Sure.
Woman had mild hypothermia from being in the water, not the cold-blooded anger that was coursing through her veins.
Right.
And she refused medical attention because she was so pissed off.
Yeah.
Our question, who or what was falling and from where? 844-999-OLA.
That one's a little different. It's just the two of them.
Yeah.
On the cruise ship, I get it.
I understand.
Your wife goes, hey, I'm going for a walk. Like, okay, honey, like it's 11. I'm going to sleep.
Sure. I get it. I'm just saying. It seems like that's happening quite frequently. You know, that's all. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, I'm on my car audio system. Can you guys hear me good?
Oh, you sound great, man. You sound like this sounds like professional audio.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, about 10 years ago, man, speaking of gravity, I used to work for this really small-time construction company. There's a couple of buddies and his uncle owned the place. Safety wasn't really a priority at this outfit. In fact, safety was one of those things that was kind of shunned upon.
Sure.
If you know what I'm saying. I was shingling a roof, a two-story roof, and I really didn't know what I was doing. I was one of my first jobs. I was rolling tar paper back so they could put shingles on it. And instead of basic common sense telling you to roll the tar paper forward and staple it, I had the tar paper behind me, and I was kicking it with my foot and stapling in front of me. Well, what happened was I walked myself off of the peak of a two-story
house. Oh, my God. How old did that...
Fell backwards. Do you know what a scorpion is? When you run and your legs come up and touch the back of your head?
Yeah, like when you fall over, like skateboarders do it all the time. So their face is on the ground and then their back leans over.
Yeah, okay. Is that how you landed, like on your chest and neck?
So this is how I ended up. I fell off of it backwards. I did a backflip, landed on a power line that was going from the pole to the house. I scorpioned on that, then it bounced me up, and I landed on a 2x4 with a bunch of nails sticking up.
Jeez!
Damn.
Oh, what did you break? Did you break anything?
I didn't break nothing.
Damn, man.
Did Tom and Jerry go running by after this happened?
And then the guy doesn't even ask me if he's okay. He just said, hey, you got your tetanus shot, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
How much longer did you work in this outfit?
About 2 years. Yeah.
And did you get a harness from that point on and kind of, you know, tie yourself up there?
They never, ever had harnesses or anything like that.
No. Okay.
I'm sure you're not the first guy, but the fact that you bounced off of a power line onto a 2x4 with nails sticking out, I just can't help but think of, like, Warner Bros., like the Roadrunners behind it or something.
Mm-hmm.
What are the freaking
nuts? What's more amazing is I managed to kick the back of my head when I was on the power line.
Do you remember any of the free fall at all? Obviously, you remember certain parts of it, but I mean...
That's the only answer you could do.
And it works.
Sorry.
Sucker. Mother... And please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, it makes sense.
OS literally is what I thought when I fell off the balcony, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, there's nothing else to think.
Yeah, right.
There is no other thought that needs to go through your head. By the way, we're talking about the, I don't know, just seems kind of curious that husbands and wives are over water. The wives keep ending up in the water and the husbands don't notice.
They didn't know.
That the wife is gone. So someone says, yeah, what about that actress that fell overboard years ago? Christopher Walken was friends with her husband.
Natalie Wood.
Natalie Driftwood, right. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they chalked that up, what, to an accidental drowning, I believe. No. That's what they chalked it up to. And I want to say they reopened this case. It happened, what, 30 years mm-hmm. ago, 35 years ago? I don't know if they completely reopened the case, but questions legally started getting asked again.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wait a minute, man. It seems a whole lot like...
Who's this?
This was Natalie Wood, and she was married to a guy named Robert Wagner, who back in the day was like the suave guy on all the TV shows.
All right.
Christopher Walken is also friends with him.
Natalie,
right?
I think we should go for a swim.
So they're all on one of their boats, and at the time, Natalie Wood's kind of top of the world. So you wake up to the news that Natalie Wood, it'd be like saying Scarlett Johansson, right? Drowned, fell overboard. But she was on the boat with her husband, whoever another actor is, with her friend, who's another actor. And like the stories were always weird, whatever, but it just got chalked up
to an argument.
Right, there's all this
stuff. What happened that night.
All right, so everyone kind of let it go. The jokes are there. It's kind of like when people used to crack jokes about, like, the Catholic priest. And then you find out there's a reason why these jokes were made. It was kind of the same thing. So they reopened this case a little bit, going, you know, something's really fishy about this.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe he really did kill
him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just said in the jokes.
Ryan Castle, the drug and charge is coming up to Sin Spin. Today we'll get the 10 songs that turn 40 years old this year coming up. And the more your calls on our question, who or what was falling and from where? 844-999. Ola, more your calls coming up in seconds.
The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.